All right. Technically, we don't really need a mic today, but I'm going to keep using mic because we have a special testimonies today. I asked four people graciously, and they agreed to share their testimonies with us. I don't want us to miss a single word from their mouth. That's why I'm keeping the mic, because I want the people who share the testimony to be heard clearly. So in this order, with Elton, Jeanette, Aaron, and Gloria will be sharing their testimonies with us. And it's a wonderful blessing to be just able to hear our fellow brothers and sisters' lives and their testimonies. So we're going to have you stand in the middle. Just kidding. No. Just don't worry. Just sit from where you are with the mic. Please share with us your testimony.
Hi, everyone. Forgive me, I've been a little sick, so sorry if I'm a little incoherent. And I think it might be this coffee that's making me really nervous, but my hands are sweating a little bit, but yeah. But you know, since I know everyone, I'm a little comforted. So yeah, I think when Pastor Tim asked me to share, to reflect over the year, and just thinking about what I wanted to share to you guys was, obviously, as you guys may know, there's a lot of things that has happened to me this year, and Zoe, obviously, got married in the beginning of the year, got a dog, Zoe found a new job, so there's a lot of things to be thankful for, and just very grateful for, but I think even like what Pastor Tim mentioned last week, you know, even when there's like all these good things happening, sometimes it's hard to feel always thankful or happy or joyous. You know, we obviously have personal things. Everybody has personal things that we go through. And so just like thinking about that, you know, it's not easy, especially during, end of the year. It's like you reflect and maybe there's a lot of like joys, obviously, but a lot of like regrets or things that really hurt you and hurt me in ways, just the way maybe I've maybe treated family or Zoe, things that, you know, definitely have made me come to a point of like really reflecting on like, wow, like I fall short, you know, like oftentimes, very much often, you know, it's like really easy to be nice and cool with in public to friends and, you know, work, whatever. But it's like, you know, when we're at home, when I'm home with Zoe or talking to my parents or my dad specifically, it's like really easy to like be on a short fuse and, you know, there's no grace there sometimes. It's like being very impatient. So I think even yesterday, just yesterday, Zoe and I were playing Bananagrams, just us two, at 1 a.m. in the morning. And, I finished my, you know, I called out Bananas and I was like, hey, Zoe, you need to check my thing, you know, and like, you need to double check. And she was like trying to check it from the other side. And she's like, oh, yeah. And like, I was like, no, you got to come over here. And I was getting a little impatient with her. And yeah, I was being a little rude when I was like, oh, you don't know what ooze means, you know, like ooze and like it like something oozes out of your wound. And like, yeah, she got really hurt because I was like being very impatient. And like, I just, you know, she was like, unlike God, you know, she was very, you know, tells me very straightforward, like, hey, yo, like, that's not okay. You know, so I just was reflecting on like how God is so gracious to me and just the way that he's patient and like, there's so many things, right, internally that, like, I may treat him and obviously treat even, like, Zoe, who is a daughter of him, you know, who's a reflection of him. And, like, there's, like, so many shortcomings that I've come to know about myself. And I'm just so thankful and grateful for, you know, my wife to be not a punching bag, but somebody to really keep me accountable and I'm just very grateful for that. So I think the word that's been really popping up a lot is the word grace and just, you know, all the things that are, you know, we should be thankful for. I don't think I take enough time to really reflect on those things. and to really change me for, you know, the better. And I think God is doing that in my heart right now, where, you know, just slow down because the world is so fast, and so, you know, we have so many responsibilities, so many things that we want to like take care of, and then we, you know, there's a cycle of, you know, anxiety as well. It's like, oh, I'm not doing that fast enough or well enough, and like we just forget like the good things that we have, you know. So I think in this time of like reflection and obviously preparation for the new year, I just really hope for myself and for us, like, to really take the time to be thankful for, right, for families, friends, and let God work through us and give each other grace and patience and forgiveness, and and let that change us from the inside so we can be more holy like Him. And I'm just excited for 2024. I think there's also a lot of anxieties to, you know, for expectations of 2024. It's election year, and who knows, we're always, you know, it's always like doom and gloom, like the world is, like AI is going to take over and like stuff like that. But like, I think at this time where I can just be around friends and family, it's very nice to just, you know, take a seat back, you know, and like just enjoy just our time and just be joyful. So just thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, and love you guys. And yeah, God bless.
Hi, thank you, Pastor Tim, for asking me to share. I wrote this down, so it'll be pretty quick. As I reflected on this past year, there were so many things that I could share about. But I think the theme that kept reoccurring for me was meeting Jesus in my suffering. There was a sermon that Esther Mbago shared earlier this year that really stuck with me, and she shared that we know who Jesus is when we suffer. And I felt like those words described exactly how I was feeling. A few weeks after that sermon, her brother passed away, and it really hit me hard how real God will test our faithfulness to Him. This year has really tested me in ways that I didn't think I was prepared for, and I experienced so many new things that I would have never imagined, whether it was in my job, in my personal life, at church. Everything, I felt like there was a struggle attached to it. And what I realized is God's faithfulness was not the question, but it was my own. As I walked in this journey with Christ, all I know that it is that it doesn't get easier. It's not about striving for peace and a good life and comfort, but about staying desperate for God. My faith this past year has taught me that in the tests, it's not His faithfulness, but my faithfulness to Him that was in question. God has never left my side, but I have felt that I've tried to look for answers in other places and other people, whether that was talking about my issues to my sisters or my mom or others of you guys here at church, or I've literally Google searched existential questions. But my convictions told me that that's not about my questions, but it's about what I put my faith into. So I started to go to early morning prayer this year because of the circumstances that I was in. And I was actually always really encouraged to see Erin every morning reading her Bible over there in that corner with her mom. I think that's the beauty of our community and our church, is that even when we feel like we're lacking, there's others of us who here who can encourage us. And I'm thankful to have a role model and a sister in Christ like Erin, and a community that I felt could keep me accountable. So I guess God has been faithful to me through this ministry and through all of you guys. So in 2024, my prayer is that I continue to stay desperate, and we continue to stay desperate for God and the calling that He's placed in our lives and in my own.
I also wrote it down because I didn't want to miss a word and blank out in the middle. So I don't have too much time, so I'll jump right into my story. And I'll be sharing one of the many ways I've encountered Jesus this year. And so just to preface the story, at the start of the year I'm talking about. So my college has a Christian fellowship chapter under the larger international organization called InterVarsity. And that organization focuses mainly on campus ministry on college campuses. And they hold a four-day-long conference called Urbana every 3 years, where university chapters from different campuses all across the nation sort of gather together to end the year and ring in the new year with Jesus. And so this event happened right at the start of this year. In one of the plenary sessions, one of the speakers talked about how our relationships with God is meant to be very intimate and personal, but never meant to be private. And so being very interested in evangelism, I chose to go to a seminar called Friendship Evangelism Changes Lives. And near the end, the speaker had us think of just one person we wanted to help commit their lives to Jesus and share their name with the person sitting next to us. And out of all the names in my head, the Holy Spirit nudged me to choose Natalie, who was one of the 10 students from my college fellowship that attended the conference. But the thing is, she wasn't Christian at the time. She grew up in the church but didn't really believe in Jesus, and she actually strayed away quite some time ago because of a lot of church hurt. And so I immediately prayed to God that he would give her the desire to take that next step of full commitment to Jesus. And of course, being the God that he is, the following night, she submitted her life to Christ after hearing the word surrender all throughout the day. And there was an altar call at the end of the last plenary session at night. And the speaker on stage was like, if anyone wants to commit their lives to Jesus tonight, like, stand up. And she told me that she kept refusing. Like, I don't want to stand up. Like, everyone's going to look at me. It's going to be awkward. Like, I can just do it in my own time. But she kept hearing the word surrender, surrender, surrender. And she just got up. And she was waving a white flag that the speaker had given her as a sort of symbol for her declaring her faith in God. And it gets better because Natalie was actually not planning on going to Urbana, but she joined the team very last minute, actually a week before the conference. And it was kind of a hassle because we had to figure out her flight details and how she was going to get from the airport to the hotel and things like that. But looking back, it was truly God's plan to give her the desire to go in the first place when she wasn't a Christian at all. And it was his plan to make a way for her to go because the InterVarsity organization actually offered to pay her flight for her to go. And the cost of the conference as well, the organization paid for. And it was also God's plan to nudge me to attend the seminar on evangelism in the first place. God's plan to sort of speak to me through the Holy Spirit by putting her name on my heart to pray for her and then bring her into his kingdom the next night. And it gets even better because not only did she get saved, but after the conference, instead of flying back to campus with us to start the new semester for college, as we had planned, she felt called to switch her flight 12 hours before the departure time and flew back home to share her testimony and her experience at the conference with her father, who was not a Christian. And fast forward, she started attending every InterVarsity event on campus and later ended up hosting a morning prayer session in her room twice a week. And so this experience reminded me a lot about the power of prayer and sort of why we pray in the first place. And one of the speakers at the conference, I vividly remember to this day, said that prayer is a root system of any witnessing community, and more so for the Christian faith as well, because we pray not to get our own way or to manipulate God, I guess, but to recognize more of what he wants and to witness it. So that when you pray, there's no way that we can say, oh, it was just a coincidence because I prayed for it and I witnessed it, so it has to be God. And so I also was reminded of just how God is involved in the seemingly minute details of our lives and also, more importantly, of our faith journeys. And as I was reflecting on sort of getting the invitation to share this testimony, I was reminded, like, our faith journey, like, we might think we came to this faith journey on our own, or even the desire we have to come to church or read the Bible is, like, really not on our own. Like, what our desire is to stray away from that. Like, I don't want to read the Bible, or, like, I don't want to pray, I'm mad. And so, like, the reason why we're all here today is all because of God, and it's kind of cool to see the way God works, where other people outside the faith might say it's all coincidence, but it's really not, because I prayed for it and it happened. And so, yeah, I learned a lot about the importance of prayer.
I wrote mine down as well, so I'll read it. As I reflect on 2023, the verse that comes to mind is Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. In July of this year, my sister and I went back to our hometown in Chicago to clean out a storage unit that my family was renting to store miscellaneous items after my mom downsized. There were countless yearbooks, journals, old clothes, childhood photos, random report cards, and many more. Each unboxing took me back to a time that I hadn't thought about in a while and recall my upbringing. There were joyful recallings as I would hold up a random item for my sister to see and say, "Oh, remember this?" And a deep sense of love and sympathy for the younger version of me who felt like my identity and worth was something I had to achieve. The photos taken with friends, journals that I wrote when alone, college acceptance letters and rejection letters brought me back to a time when my self-worth would go up and down depending on my performance. The highs always felt temporary and the lows depressing. Looking through all these items and recalling how I had felt then made me praise God for his loving care and faithfulness throughout all the years and the peace I had now in knowing that my identity or worth doesn't need to be earned, but my sonship is given to me by Christ. This year was about me reflecting and remembering on how it's okay to let God have control and have, because he had been faithful to me in the past. So even into 2024, I will tell myself again, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. God is the one who had guided me in the past, and I will be his child who will trust in him.
Thank you guys for sharing. That was, wow. That was very, from intimate things and from seeing how God orchestrates things in our lives, but also just letting us reflect on the past and how he's been faithful in our lives. That's wonderful. Thanks, guys, for sharing. And I just feel like I don't have to preach at this time because we just heard wonderful things. But I have just a short blessings I want to share with you. So if you have your Bibles with you, it might be up on the screen. That's where you can follow along. But Psalm 18, this is a word that I just wanted to bless you guys. And this has been kind of pressing on my heart this past week as I've been meditating on. I'm just going to read this from verses 1 through 6, and I'll just share a small just a little bit for us. This is a great psalm. Can we read this out loud together? Psalm 18, 1 through 6. Ready? Begin.
I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold, I call upon the Lord. Worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompass me, the torrents of destruction assail me, the cords of Sheol entangle me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I call upon the Lord, to my God I cry for help, from his temple hear my voice, and my cry to him reaches his ears. Amen. Amen. Has not ended exactly yet, but it's has gone by quickly, hasn't it? Right? But it doesn't mean that nothing happened. Actually, a lot happened this year, right? In our individual lives, I'm sure, in our family lives, but also in our church life too. And I'm grateful to God. God has brought me here to be to life with you, to have a community with you, right? But there has been ups and downs in our lives, right? Some of us had challenges at work, with our health, finances and different things, right? But all we can do at this point as we reflect on this past year is that God has been faithful, amen? God has been God in our lives, right? But as we're wrapping up 2023 and we're about to enter into 2024, the word that just
that's just inevitable in our lives. It's the uncertainty, right? We don't know what awaits us in 2024. With the same topics in our health, with our family relationships, right? Our job, perhaps, our finances, the things that we long for, we don't know what's going to happen. And as Elton was sharing briefly, election's coming up, right? And I've been following the news closely, and I've seen it's really uncertain, and it's in many ways is discouraging, and it's also disheartening to many people. And economy is also not really so bright as we look forward to the future. I've just seen, oh, wow, yeah. And this is, 2024 may not be the brightest year for many people in our lives, around us, and maybe perhaps for us as well. When we think about that uncertainty and challenges that await us, there are only a few people who experience that such an uncertainties and challenges in their lives than David in the Bible. You know, King David is a guy who went through just a lot. He had a tough life. As much as it had a glorious life, what led up to him and what the difficult things and that he experienced was just a lot. He lost so many people. He lost his best friend, Jonathan. He lost his son from Bathsheba. He lost his another son, Absalom. Before that, the son tried to kill him, take over his kingdom, right? And then many people just threw an uproar and tried to take him out and kill him. And he had to live under that pressure all of his life. And just a little background of Psalm 18 is that this was written probably at the end of his life. And after going through all of the things that we can possibly imagine, the pain, the depth of suffering that he experienced in life, this is what he said at the end of his life. I love you, Lord. You're my God. You're my rock in whom I take refuge. And that is the praise. That is the thanksgiving that he gives to God. And just in my short time, what I wanted to bless you with is how did he give thanks to God after he went through all of that? How can we remain giving thanks to God and grateful to God even when we are uncertain in our lives, especially with 2024? What's going to happen? No, I don't know. Do you know what's going to happen to you? We don't know. No one knows. As much as we like to plan things, right? We don't know what's going to happen, right? But we can still continue to give thanks to God. How can we do that? This is the reason, very reason David gives to us as he sings to God, because God is our rock. Amen? God is your rock. God is my rock, in whom we can take refuge. Right? I want to bless you with that praise of David to God, and not just for the end of your life, not just for the end of our life. We look back and, oh yeah, God was there, God was there, God was good, God has been good, not like that, but throughout our lives, on his daily life, even when we face the worst nightmares in our lives, we can still give thanks to God. For everything comes from God. For everything is under God's good sovereign will. Amen. So we can still give thanks to God. So how do we do that? One thing I want to share with you, I just saw in our passage, is that what does that mean that he is a rock? It means that God is a faithful God who never changes and who never fails us. He's a faithful God who never changes and who never fails us. You know, central imagery of Psalm 18 is just that God is rock, right? David is calling God a total of four times throughout this psalm. This is actually a really long psalm. I believe it's about 60 verses or so. He just continues to call, 50 verses, he just continues to call God as his rock. And what does that mean, that the rock? When we think of a rock, I don't know what you're thinking of, but the imagery that I have, it's a little pretty rock that we can just find, and sometimes people just put that in their collection. Like, look at that pretty rock. It's not that kind of rock. What it's talking about is a big, giant, huge boulder, where sometimes he went under as a shade to find shade. Sometimes he went up on top of the boulder so that he can use it as a watchtower to see where his enemies are coming from, right? But think about it. You don't go under it or above anything if that thing is not firm and solid, right? And that's the and that became a really important factor for this formation of his spirituality, right? My God is rock, that boulder. That I remember David was going through difficult times when Saul, King Saul's troops were coming after him. And sometimes in the ancient days where he lived, sunlight during the day, so hot, right? He needs shade. Where does he find it? He went under. He went under that boulder, under that rock. And when he needs to see where his enemies are coming from, where did he go? He went on top of the boulder to see where the enemies are coming from, right? And through that experience, what he saw was that, oh, this is a reminder of who God is. I went under that boulder, right? I wouldn't have gone there. I wouldn't have gone under or above it if I thought this thing is not solid and firm. This is solid and firm. I can trust it. I know it by experience. You know what that tells us? Is that throughout David's life with ups and downs and everything, what he saw is that when I go to God, he is my hiding place. I can find refuge in him. When these spiritual attacks and actually physical enemies are coming at me, what I can do is I can find my place in him. I can see where the attacks are coming from. I can see where the battle is happening. And this is my God and this is my rock, right? There will be times our lives may crumble down, right? I have my glorious plan for 2024. I was excited to share with my wife last night, but we didn't have time. But I wanted to share it. Like, we have a great year coming up. And she's like, okay, Jay, as always, just through the MBTI personality thing, she just, you just plan things and you don't really, and this is me telling myself, I don't really follow it, but I just get excited about it, right? In 2024, we may face challenges, difficulties, maybe family. We might feel like things are falling apart in your marriage. If you're dating, in your dating relationships, maybe your health might feel like it's falling apart. Maybe your career, maybe your job, finances. Whatever that you put your hope in that, it might just fail you, right? But what Psalm 18 and what David was reminded over and over and over again is that God is a rock in whom he can find refuge. Amen? He is our refuge. And I want to bless you. May God be the hiding place for you. May God be the place where you run to when you find trouble, when you're distressed, when you're frustrated, when you're disappointed, right? For our church, you know, we plan things for next year too, for our church, for our ministry, right? Well, who knows? Sometimes we may face difficulties and challenges, but this is a reminder. And in the end, I'm making a shortcut here in the New Testament, in the full Revelation, 1 Corinthians 10 says, the rock was Jesus Christ. I'm not doing justice to this passage. I have no plans to do. But overall, this is just the rock is related to our Lord Jesus. What that reminds us is that when we come to Jesus in our lives by faith, it's that reminder from 2 Timothy that if we're faithless, he will remain faithful. Amen? He will remain faithful to you. And that's my blessing to you. He will not fail you. He will be with you. Let's enter into new season, new year, with that truth in our heart, in our soul. Tell yourself, tell your family, tell one another, God never fails. He is with you. Can we pray together? At this point, at this time, I just want to invite you to let's go to God. And once again, just reflect on this year, right? Where has God been in my life? Maybe you may not be able to pinpoint the exact places and time in which God was clearly present in your life. But just know that the fact that I'm here, the fact that I am still a son and daughter of God, that's saying something, isn't it? That's saying that he didn't let go of my hand. So let's give thanks to God at this time. Lord, I give thanks to you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, you are my rock. And if there is any of you who's going through perhaps a difficult time right now, and it's hard to give thanks to God, that's okay. But what you can do is, God, I don't see it. It's hard to believe it. But you know, I know this is true. So Lord, you are my God. You are my rock. May it be true in my heart. May that prayer at this time.